Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdel Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. I wanted to welcome you to a new series here on the Qalam Podcast, which features lectures and sessions conducted at the Qalam Conference. On January the 4th, 2020, we conducted a day-long Qalam conference for the entire DFW Muslim community. That is the Dallas-Fort Worth community where Qalam is located and Qalam is based. This was a free day-long conference that we conducted here that had sessions for youth, for kids, and for the general community. The topic of the conference was the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, at Qalam, we have a full-time seminary which features a number of scholars and instructors, and now we have graduates and new instructors being added to the faculty. We also have many senior students who have been at the seminary for years learning the Islamic sciences. Alhamdulillah, this entire conference was put together, was conducted and was spoken at by Qalam scholars, Qalam teachers, Qalam instructors, Qalam graduates, and senior seminary students at Qalam. And this was done for the benefit of our local community. So alhamdulillah, I wanted to take the opportunity to share these sessions with you. The topic was the Qur'an and how it applies to our practical everyday lives. I hope you find the sessions beneficial. Inshallah, if they are beneficial to you, please do the following things. Number one, share them with family and friends because these sessions are being provided free for everyone's benefit. Number two, go to supportqalam.com. That is support, Q-A-L-A-M, supportqalam.com, and consider being a sustainer to help make this knowledge available to more and more people. And number three, if you use an Apple device, go to the App Store and download the free, amazing Qalam app, in which you can download and listen to all Qalam podcast series and sessions. Jazakumullahu khairan and enjoy the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So hopefully, inshallah, everyone really benefited and enjoyed and is intrigued by kind of a hands-on experience in being part of an Arabic lesson. And that is a very, very important component of understanding the Qur'an. Now, I'm going to talk about the other side of this in just a moment. But again, I'm going to reiterate and emphasize that learning the language of the Qur'an is very crucial and critical to truly understanding the Qur'an. And that is, while that it, there's an individual imperative there, this is a collective communal task and endeavor and responsibility. We have to work as a community to make the language of the Qur'an more accessible because it truly is very practical. Now, you might not have heard that before, and that might sound very counterintuitive to some people, to say learning Arabic is practical, then why is it so hard? Right? That's the thing. It's not supposed to be hard. It's actually not very difficult. Just as a point of emphasis, the three people sitting on stage right now who all teach the Arabic language and also teach religious sciences in the Arabic language, none of us are ethnically Arab. I taught him Arabic. I'm not Arab and neither is he. And in fact, we can go further back. All right? The most in-depth linguistic analysis ever done on the Qur'an, Zamakhshari, he was not an Arab. Let's go further back. Okay? The most popular Arabic grammar text in the entire world, including the Arab world, was written by a non-Arab, the Ajnumiya. Let's go further back. The actual book of the Arabic language. You know, when you refer to somebody, you say, he wrote the book on this. The guy who actually did write the book on the Arabic language, his book is called Al-Kitab, the book. He literally called it the book of Arabic. The author's name is Sibawayh, not Subway, Sibawayh. If you can kind of hear Sibawayh, does that sound like a very Arab name? No, because he wasn't Arab. And he wrote the book on Arabic grammar. What am I trying to say? Arabs on Arabic? No, I didn't say that. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is learning Arabic, number one, depends on why you want to learn it. Number two, how you're learning it. Number three, whom you are learning it from. Who are you learning it from? All right? So number one, the why is if you're learning it to understand the Quran. Number two is that how are you going about in learning it? That you're learning it with a Quranic focus. And number three, in an organized, systematic, curricular kind of method, number three is who are you learning it from? You're learning it from a qualified teacher of Arabic. If you put those three things together, learning Arabic is actually very, very practical. And dare I say easy. Because Allah said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. We made it easy. We simplified it. We facilitated it. We made it very, extremely practical. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. So learn it. And so learning Arabic is a very, very practical thing. It's very doable. But just as you just experienced, usually folks have not had access and the opportunity to be able to learn it in such a practical method. And so alhamdulillah, we're very, very happy to provide that and facilitate that at Qalam. And so hopefully this motivates you, this inspires you to learn the Quran and to learn the language of the Quran. And we have dedicated ourselves as an institution to make more and more accessible opportunities for people to learn the language of the Quran. And now what we're looking for is people who are serious about understanding the Quran and learning the language of the Quran. And so hopefully may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and we pray and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible and allows the Muslim Ummah to be once again identified as the people of the Quran. That being said, at no point in what I've said so far, my introductions in Ustad Ubaidullah's presentations throughout the day, all the different lectures that you've heard today, at no point has anyone said, multiple times it's probably been talked about that Arabic is a very important part of understanding the Quran, but not even once has it been said that if you don't know Arabic, then you cannot understand the Quran. Nobody has said that so far. Because that's also not true. Learning Arabic is very, very important, but you can still have a relationship and an appreciation for the message of the Quran. There's going to be a little bit of a in between. There's going to be a little bit of a connector in between. It won't be as direct access. It'll be a little bit of an indirect connection. But you can definitely have an appreciation for the meaning and the lessons and the wisdom of the Quran, even if you don't yet have a full grasp of the Arabic language. And what is the way to go about in doing that? There are two types of literature that as a Muslim, we need, and as a Muslim community, that we need to take very seriously. There are two types of literature. Number one, the first one, we typically refer to them as translations of the Quran. The more accurate in the Arabic language, they always say, tarjamatu ma'ani al-Quran. All right? Which means a translation of the meanings of the Quran. But nevertheless, translations are the first kind of literature that are very important in the Muslim community. The second kind of literature is what we call tafsir. The plural is tafasir. These are interpretations of the Quran. These are sometimes short explanations, medium size discussions, or very, very lengthy, very voluminous, you know, encyclopedias of the Quran, of the meaning of the Quran. So translation and tafsir. It's very important for Muslims to take that very seriously. As Muslims, knowing the meaning and having an appreciation of the meaning of the Quran, as I said earlier today, that is not a luxury. That is not a, you know, a that is not a an advanced skill. That is not something that is optional. It is not a hobby. It is something that is necessary and mandatory for each and every single Muslim. I need to be able to understand my Creator's message for me. I need to be able to understand what God said. I need to be able to understand what my Lord has communicated for me, for my benefit. And that's why my recommendation, and I'm not the first, but I've repeated this from people much more wise and knowledgeable than me. I've been repeating this for over the last decade, for more than a decade, nonstop, everywhere I go. Each and every single Muslim right now today, every single person that is here right now, needs to make the intention in this gathering that I need to read the entirety of the translation of the meanings of the Quran from cover to cover in its entirety, start to finish. And I will remain dedicated to this task. I will take a bookmark. I will find a good, and I'm going to be talking about some translations, a good English translation. And I'm going to start reading from the front, and I'm going to place that bookmark. I'm going to move it along, and I'm not going to stop until I am done. Until I'm done, I'm not going to stop. Every Muslim needs to make it a task to read the translation of the Quran. Because if we're not doing that, we're falling into a very dangerous category. I'll tell you a little quick little story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. That from amongst them, there were some people who did not educate themselves about their own religion. And the only thing they knew about their scripture, the only thing they knew about their revelations, were just some random thoughts and wishful thinking. I think God said this, and I think God said that. And there's a very kind of scary conversation where the Prophet ﷺ was talking to the companions, and he said, there will come a time when knowledge will leave the people. And this one companion of the Prophet ﷺ, his name is Ziyad ibn Labid. He was an Ansari companion, radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, كيف يختلس منا وقد قرأنا القرآن? How are we going to lose knowledge when we read the Qur'an? We read it. How are we going to lose knowledge if we read the Qur'an? فَوَاللَّهِ لَنَقْرَأَنَّهُ We're going to keep on reading it. وَلَنُقْرِئَنَّهُ نِسَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَنَا We're going to teach it to our wives. We're going to teach it to our children. The Prophet ﷺ said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا زِيَادِ He said, this is such a sad moment, buddy. And he in fact says, إِنِّي كُنْتُ لَأُعِدُّكَ مِنْ فُقَهَاءِ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ I used to think you were a really smart guy. I used to think that you were really smart. But I realize you're being very simple right now. You should be smarter. He said, هَذَا التَّوْرَاتُ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ عِنْدَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ فَمَاذَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ Look at the Christians and the Jews. They had revelation. They had scripture. What did it do to them? Look how they completely lost touch with their religion. And he said that because they did not understand it. They did not think about it. They did not really spend time with its meaning and reflect on it. Just simply having these masahif, physical copies of the Qur'an lining our shelves, hanging off of our walls, having people beautifully recite it and enjoying the melody of its recitation, that doesn't mean you understand it. And that doesn't mean that you're going to know your faith. And it doesn't definitely not mean that you're going to be able to pass on this religion to the next generation in a very solid fashion. Not at all. Do not take that for granted. So for that reason, it is very important for us to not take the Quran for granted. Yes, we recite it, and yes, we listen to its recitation, and it adorns our walls, and you know, the sound of it fills our halls. That's fantastic. But that's not enough. Each and every single Muslim here, right? Allah says, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِنَاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah repeatedly in the Quran says, He sent the Quran for you, all of y'all, everyone. He sent the Quran for them. The Quran's for you, it's for me, it's for all of us. Every single person who calls themselves a Muslim, أَشْهَدُ وَلَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, you owe it to yourself to pick up and read the meaning of the Quran, the translation of the Quran, and to live this lifelong mission of understanding the Quran more and more and more and more and more. Absolutely. Now, that being said, the question is how? So, I said there's two types of literature, translation, tafsir. Translation, tafsir. I'd like to practically discuss, because I don't think we do this often enough, and I know people have a lot of questions about it, what are some of the resources in English for translation and for tafsir? I have just two very quick comments I need to share with you, 60-second comments each of them. Number one, the Quran has been translated into the English language. For about the first time the Quran was translated into the English language was around 300 years ago. But that was not done by Muslims. That was done by non-Muslims. Like Islam was starting to be translated into the English language 200 some odd years ago. We'll round it off to about 300 years ago. But that was done by non-Muslims who were employed by the British Empire that was occupying Muslim lands. All right, we call them Orientalists. All right, so that was not done by Muslims. And just in case anyone has any doubt, and I am very opinionated on this issue. If you disagree with me, I apologize, but I don't care. Islamic literature written by non-Muslims is not for Muslims. I am a firm believer in that. I don't care how knowledgeable they are. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how many PhDs they have before and after their name. I don't care what university they went to or what university they teach at. If they are non-Muslim, they don't believe that Muhammad is the messenger of God. They don't believe that the Quran is a word of God. I don't care what they think about the Quran. I don't care. I don't care. I teach my students to not care. Okay? I am only interested in people who actually believe that God is God and that Muhammad is a messenger of God and the Quran is a word of God. When they write about Islam, okay, thank you very much. Right? So that's just my little expose on that. So non-Muslims for 200 years wrote about Islam. I throw that out the window. That doesn't count for anything. And by the way, they hated Muslims. They were killing Muslims. So we shouldn't put a lot of stock into what they wrote anyways. The first time a Muslim translated the Quran into the English language was 100 years ago. It's been 100 years. Islam has only been written about in the English language by Muslims for 100 years. That's it. It takes time to develop research, writing, literature. Does everybody understand that? So the exercise of writing about Islam in English is very, very new. It's very new. So it is still, you know, you drive by like that building and it says under construction, right? So it's still being worked on, okay? The second quick comment I had is I'm going to share a couple of recommendations with you. If you know of other translations and tafsirs in English and I'm not mentioning them, I operate with a very simple principle. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ I either will comment on something I like, and if I don't like something, I'm not going to tell you I don't like it. I'm just not going to say anything about it. Because a Muslim put some hard work into it, I'm not going to sit up here and criticize their work. If I didn't mention it, I'm not saying I'm definitely aware of it, but I probably am aware of it because I've been researching this for 20 years. I didn't comment on it because I don't want to criticize it, okay? A couple of very quick recommendations that I will share with you and then I will move on. Number one, one of the earliest English translations of the Quran that was actually done in 1930 was done by Muhammad Marmaduke Pigtaw. It's written in old Victorian English, which means it's difficult for most of you to read. You savages, all right? It's very well done. It's a very well done translation, but it's hard for common folk to read. All right? That sounds like an elitist comment. All right. Another translation that I'd recommend that is actually very easy to read is done by a professor of Islamic studies who is originally from Egypt, and his name is Muhammad Abdul Halim. Muhammad Abdul Halim. He is the professor of Islamic studies at SOAS in London, and his translation was done in the year 2004, published by the Oxford University Press. It's a very well done translation. It's very commonly available on Amazon and things like that. When you see the cover, you'll recognize it. A third translation that I do recommend in the English language is done by Dr. Ahmed Zaki Hamad. He is a traditionally trained Islamic scholar who studied at Al-Azhar in the Department of Sharia. He graduated from Kulliyat al-Sharia in Al-Azhar. And then he came to the United States and he received a PhD in Islamic studies from the University of Chicago. He translated the Quran, I forget the exact year, but he also translated the Quran in the last decade, called the Glorious Quran, or the Gracious Quran, the Gracious Quran. And that is also a very well done translation, Ahmed Zaki Hamad. As far as tafsir is concerned, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail here. There's different types of tafsir and so on and so forth. But again, I told y'all, in the English language, it's still under development. There is a translation, quote unquote, an alleged translation of Ibn Kathir in English. It is atrocious. I said I wouldn't criticize. I'm only mentioning that because it became very popular. And it actually is not really a translation of Ibn Kathir. The editors, not even the translator, the editors took a lot of liberty with the editing of it. And they completely butchered it. So do not acquire that. The one translation done in one tafsir that is available in its entirety in the English language that is written well, there's two of them that I will mention. The first is Maulana Maududi, rahimahullah. His translation, his tafsir of the Quran called Tafhimul Quran, was translated into English. The English is not very good. It's like Indian English, so it sounds like but ding ding, right? So, That's just what it sounds like in my head. Anyways, I can say that. I'm Indian. All right. So, that's been translated into English. It's okay. And Ma'ariful Quran, which was written by Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Uthmani, rahimahullah, his tafsir called Ma'ariful Quran has also been translated into English. The English is better than that of Tafhimul Quran. Still not ideal, but it is better. Other than that, to be very, very honest with you, we don't have a lot of work in the English language. It is a project that many of us are working on. We hope to publish future works from Qalam. There is a podcast on the Qalam podcast. If you go to the Qalam podcast or you download the app, we have some tafsir on there. There are reflections of the Quran that our instructors give during the month of Ramadan. They're on their Quranic reflections. Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy did a series on the tafsir of Surah Maryam. I have started a tafsir podcast that started from Surah Al-Fatiha, and now we are going through Surah Al-Baqarah. And the goal is to complete the entirety of the Quran, either by myself or somebody else, doesn't really make a difference as long as we're all able to serve the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know this much, that we as an institution are dedicated to facilitating the understanding of the Quran.